Welcome back to another episode of What's Up Prof, but this is a very special episode. It's our 100th episode of What's Up Prof.
Martin, perhaps we should rephrase that 100 episodes of conspiracy theories.
I think that would be a fitting title, actually.
Yes. Only trouble is, what if they come true, right?
Yes, and so that's why we've decided we're going to do some recap of what happened over these 100 episodes.
Yes.
And I think the viewers will enjoy it. It was enjoyable to go through it again. And let's see how it goes.
Let's pray.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come here today and we want to thank you, Lord, for all the miracles that you have brought to this ministry in the past 100 episodes. Thank you for giving us the blessing of bringing these to the world. And we ask that you please also bless this discussion today and all the viewers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Martin, I think it would be appropriate if you would tell our viewers about what basically transpired, not in terms of the content of the 100 episodes, but everything associated with it. Like, for example, making the information available, how to download it, how to get it to other people, etc. Perhaps you could inform them.
Yes. While I was going through the first bunch of episodes, I realized it's still as relevant today as it was when we've made it. So we've got this download server that everybody probably knows of by now. We are in the process of upgrading the download server, so bear with us. There is some, it's been flooded a little bit, and then sometimes the speed of the downloads, or it crashes or so, but just bear with us. It will get better.
Yes, and we've managed to procure another server where the speed is many, many times faster. And we're hoping that that'll solve the problem.
Yes, because like you've mentioned, this is an evangelistic tool.
Yes.
We want people to get and spread this out as far and wide as possible.
And I think we all know that time is running out, right?
Yes, definitely.
And therefore, we must make it available in any form possible. So, Martin, we've got all kinds of plans to get the data out to the people in a physical form, mm-hmm. because we never know how long we will have access to the airwaves, right?
Correct.
And we want to do that also on the basically the same basis. No profit, just get it out to the people. So whether that will be indeed DVD form or whether it will be in a data stick, either way would be possible. So that the information can be spread from person to person, even if the airways are cut off at some future date.
Yes. We also have new Telegram channels.
Uh-huh.
There's, for instance, an Afrikaans and English channel at this stage, and other languages will follow. And how this channel works is it's like a server. It's got all our videos on there, and then you can share that link to other people, and they can join that channel and watch through all of those videos. The videos are quite small, so it won't take a lot of data. So that's also a new initiative, and I'll put the links in the description of this video as well.
Excellent. So we have some plans for the future.
Definitely, and we'll keep everybody up to date. But then there's also a very special thank you that we want to give to our viewers. We've reached 100,000 subscribers.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So thank you very much for all the support, and may it grow from strength to strength.
Yes, because our only mission is to get this message out so that as many people can make decisions as is humanly possible.
Yes, and yes. You've mentioned earlier, the time is short.
Correct, and may God take it and multiply it like the leaves of autumn or like the loaves and the fishes.
Exactly.
Well, let's jump right into it, Martin. 100 episodes. Let's see where we go. We spoke at some time in the past about the Abrahamic family house, where the world is slowly moving in this direction of uniting the great religions in the world. You know, what's interesting, Martin, is that many of the things that we spoke about in the past in these episodes were basically predictive that this or that or the other would be a possible scenario of how things should unfold. So in this episode, we will have a flashback.
Yes.
We will go back to some of those episodes and play short portions of what was said even a year ago or more than a year ago. So this one comes from the 12th of March, 2020. And we can see how things have progressed along this prophetic line.
Yes.
And that is always one of the criteria that one has to, you know, watch. Is that which is being said, is it a reality? Is it a figment of the imagination? Or is it really unfolding?
Yes, and I would encourage the viewers to prick your mind and go back to this date and then realize what happened there. On 12th of March 2020, we didn't sit in the world that we sit today.
No.
There was no global pandemic at that stage.
No.
It was just centralized in China at that stage. So that's the type of thing you have to do when viewing this. And we'll keep on reminding you, because a lot of the things that we said, like you said earlier, was we were labeled conspiracy theorists.
Yes, and this will never happen. But in actual fact, it then happened to be that the world actually experienced exactly that.
Yeah.
So here is a video of what we said at that time about the Abrahamic house of fraternity.
They are building now a synagogue, a mosque, and a church.
Next to each other.
Next to each other.
Right on the same complex.
Right on the same complex. They built so, and they've got a communal garden in the middle.
Aha. So the garden is the common ground.
The common ground. So they worship in their own styles, but they get together under friendship.
To socialize.
To socialize.
And fraternity. Now, that is where I believe all of this is heading. And in order to make it fit into a short time frame, you have to have magnitudes of calamities. So the more the calamities increase, the more the pressure increases to introduce these things. And because we're all interconnected and all need to work together on these issues, eventually they will say, enough already. Peace and goodwill to all men. Peace, peace. We will live side by side. We will not attack each other anymore. You can believe what you believe. As long as your belief does not interfere with this common good of fraternity.
So that was what we said in March 2020.
And the question is, have we had calamities?
I think everybody can agree that it's really started to escalate.
Yes.
And even the magnitude of all the calamities.
You look at the latest, the tidal waves that we've had, the eruptions of volcanoes under the oceans. If we look at the storms that we've had, the tornadoes, the climate change, of course, was brought into the fray. And all of these things are happening.
Yeah. And on this house of fraternity, they've even started to build in different areas in the world also.
They started in Berlin, they're going to do in New York, and we said all of these things. So there is an escalation.
Yes.
In terms of the religions working together. But there may be no proselytizing.
Correct. That's what Pope Francis vehemently told
Correct.
Everybody.
Correct. But the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. So we have a conflict, and that conflict will not end until the Lord returns. So in 2022, seven stunning architectural projects to open in the Gulf. The Abrahamic family house is one of the landmark projects to be completed sometime this year, and the project was unveiled in 2019 after the signing of the document on human fraternity by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Ahmed Al-Tayeb. So we've discussed all of this. Mm-hmm. So these things are in the pipeline and developing very rapidly.
Yeah.
Martin, in the past, when we talked about these things, we said that it wouldn't stay with a pandemic. It would escalate. And there would be supply line problems. And we discussed food crisis and crises that would develop in the world. And people said, this is just a glitch on the horizon. It will never happen. But where are we standing right now in 2022 on the issue of food crisis? All right, just to recap, this is what we said on the 12th of March, 2020.
And now there is the coronavirus.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I find this coronavirus very fascinating because, number one, it exposes a weakness. An authoritarian regime that is curtailing the virus by isolating it.
Yes.
But by isolating it, you are stopping the movement of millions of people. You're not only stopping the movement of millions of people, you are stopping the movements of millions and millions and millions of dollars of
money?
Merchandise.
Yeah.
So this does not affect people only, it affects the entire economy. It affects imports. And the way in which the government, in its stance, is treating the people is leading to dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is part of the agenda or not. I don't want to be labeled a conspiracist, although I think it's a little bit late for that. But what is the backlash? The economy has received a knock. Exports have received a knock. For example, the farmers in all these quarantined areas and in these cities that have been closed, you have these massive chicken farms, for example.
Yes.
Now they're sitting with all these chickens. What are they going to do with them? They can't export them because the trucks and the trains that come and take these things away are no longer allowed to do this. So the only thing they can do is to kill them all.
Yes.
So they're slaughtering millions and millions and millions of animals without the means of creating an economy which is sustainable. In other words, they're saying there will be massive food shortages. And because of the export market, that will ripple over to the entire world.
Now, Martin, isn't that interesting? That was said in 2020, when there was not even a hint of it at that particular stage. So let us go to a cartoon that comes out of Fox News. And this is a very recent one. It comes right from the last few days. Mm-hmm. So what does it say here? It says, build back better supermarket. And it seems like there's nothing on the shelf, Martin. Chips out of stock, baked goods out of stock, canned goods out of stock, COVID test kits out of stock, beer out of stock, cereal out of stock. But the good news is that Joe Biden, with his BBB, Build Back Better emblem on his chest, and his teleprompter, and his thoughtlessness, states, the good news is that we have shorter checkout lines. So it is a reality.
Yeah.
It has come to fruition. We are now in 2022. And that was in 2020. So was it a conspiracy theory or did it actually become a fact?
Mm-hmm.
Here is an article from January the 13th, 2022. KFC Australia is running low on chicken and McDonald's Japan is restricting sales of French fries. So this is across the board. And we will experience this more and more.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And eventually, you know, the Bible says there will be famines. And we are heading towards famines. Now, what's very interesting, Martin, is that some countries, like China, mm-hmm. are hoarding food, right?
Yeah.
And some of these hoards of food comprise more than half the world's food supply.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just look at some of those interesting things. If we're talking possible scenarios for the future.
Yeah, this is now the time that everybody must put on their thinking caps and look a little bit further into the future.
And see how this thing is unfolding. Mm. You know that we said at that stage, this is not a glitch on the horizon. This is the end game. And there was so much opposition to those statements.
We still get opposition to it.
Correct. But more and more people are realizing that the world has thoroughly changed.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new game. We might be moving out of one crisis into another form of crisis, but the crisis won't stop.
And there might be small, short-lived time of relative
just to
peace.
Calm the nerves. Yeah. And then the next wave. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this little clip here. It's an interesting one.
Have you been complaining about the growing inflation? Have your monthly expenses gone up? Are you now paying more for your daily essentials, things like rice, cooking oil, pulses and more? If you are, you're not alone. It's happening across the world. In India, for instance, inflation has jumped. In Sri Lanka, there is a food shortage. In Nepal, inflation has touched a 19-month high. In Bangladesh, inflation is breaking records. In the month of November, it touched a 5-year high. And in Pakistan, food inflation is crushing the poor. That this inflation will get worse because of one country. China. China is adding to global inflation. How? By hoarding the world's grain. How much? More than half of the global supply. China is hoarding more than half of the global supply of food grains. How much food supply is Beijing hoarding? Let's give you some numbers. Estimates say China has 69% of the world's maize reserves, 60% of the rice reserves, and 51% of the wheat reserves. The COFCO group runs one of China's largest food stockpiling bases. It is in Dalian in northeast China. It's a port. It has 310 huge silos. They store beans and grains supplied from within China and abroad. From here, the port of Dalian, China distributes food to the rest of the country. You could say the COFCO group is critical for China's food security. But for the rest of us, it's a threat. Because this mass hoarding of food in China is impacting the world.
69% of the world's maize is not a small amount.
That is huge. That is reminiscent of what happened in Egypt, right? All the nations around were dependent upon Egypt.
Exactly.
So we spoke about that also in the past. Now, what is very interesting is that everything is interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the truckers, for example, refuse to go along with certain government mandates. And that will slow down the distribution because some of these people just won't distribute it anymore.
Yeah.
So that's an added problem. But there are other problems. So this is an article in Farming Ahead where CBH growers require compulsory jab in order to be able to deliver. So some just won't deliver, for example.
Yeah.
So let's just think about that. Where can this go to and where are we heading? Remember that in many episodes we spoke about get out of the cities. Mm. The cities are going to be places that are very dangerous to live in. And in the past we also wrote about coastal areas and how dangerous it will be to live in coastal areas. Well, the volcanic eruption that we've just had that devastated the islands of Tonga are just one of the examples of what we might expect. Get out of the cities. So let's have a look what we said on the 12th of March 2020.
The cities are a hotbed of everything that is evil. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And we have examples of what happened to cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says that the earth will wear out like a garment and the inhabitants will die like flies. Mm. And it is so easy to quarantine someone in a city. If you take the cities of the world, you just cut off the main routes and within minutes there is a lockdown. And you will not be able to buy and sell and you will be controlled completely by the government. Now, what is also fascinating, they were saying there wasn't much of a patrol in these lockdowns. Now, what do the authorities do to enforce such a lockdown? Are the authorities or those responsible for enforcing it, are they immune to the virus? Mm. Or does a plastic jacket protect them from the virus and no one else?
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things there which just do not quite ring true. Nevertheless, whether it is real or perceived is irrelevant. What is the consequence? And do we see the biblical events unfolding? And I believe we are.
Let's just move straight on to another clip where it had this interesting introduction.
Here's a statement from Last Day Events. When iniquity abounds in a nation, there is always to be heard some voice giving warning and instruction, as the voice of Lot was heard in Sodom. Yet Lot could have preserved his family from many evils had he not made his home in this wicked, polluted city. All that Lot and his family did in Sodom could have been done by them, even if they had lived in a place some distance away from the city. That's pretty good advice.
Yep.
Now, we've just had a rather devastating week in terms of what can happen in cities.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just look at what this little video shows us. But if you were not in the city, then this would not have hit you. Now, what if this starts happening on a large scale?
Yes.
And what if the judgments of God are coming to this world because of the iniquity? Sometimes God does these things or allows these things so that people can wake up, right?
Yep.
Now, Martin, what if this happens on a very large scale? Or let's not be predictive, but just speculate. Mm. China in one city is hoarding 50% approximately of the world's food supply. Mm. What if we had a similar event and that food supply was wiped out? Mm-hmm. Then in one day, the 50% of the world's food supply will be gone.
Yeah. Immediately, you're in a famine.
Now, when we look at that explosion that we had in Lebanon, there were silos standing there,
exactly.
And they were also full, and they were destroyed. So, we could have a natural disaster, or we could have an unnatural disaster, or we could have a war.
Yes.
And then, we would see things like this, And what would be the impact? Now, there's a statement in the Spirit of Prophecy which says that just before the end, war will rage. I think we must talk about some of those issues in a future one. Mm. Because I think it is time that we not only looked at the news, we didn't not only look at the events as they are unfolding, as important as they are,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to start looking at the spiritual implications.
Yes.
We have to start looking, where must I and where must you and where must everyone else be in terms of their relationship with God in the time that we are living in? Martin, we have just seen the beginning.
True.
It's going to escalate.
And now's the time to have that anchor, what you've just been talking about.
All right. So we just spoke about all of these calamities, that they would increase. Let's look at what's happening right now.
The nation of Tonga was virtually cut off from the rest of the world after a massive volcanic blast crippled communication lines in the Pacific Island. The explosion has also stalled all emergency relief efforts as of now. It has been 2 days since the Tonga volcano exploded. The eruption cloaked Tonga in a film of ash. It triggered a Pacific-wide tsunami and released shockwaves that wrapped around the entire planet. But with phone lines still down and an undersea internet cable cut, the true toll of the dual eruption tsunami disaster is not yet known. The eruption was so powerful that it was recorded around the world and heard as far away as Alaska. It triggered giant waves along the Pacific coastlines from Japan to the United States.
And what was also interesting is if the people go and watch the video, the full one, you'll see there's a top scientist that's studying these type of things for 40 years. And he said this is a total surprise. They didn't expect something like this to happen.
Nothing. Now, there are a number of conspiracies out there that some of these natural disasters are being aided by human manipulation. Now, whether that is so or whether that is not so is actually irrelevant.
True.
The outcome is what matters.
Always, huh?
Yes. So we have been told there will be calamities by sea and on the land, and that there will be a total turmoil of nature. And that is exactly what we are seeing.
Yes, sir.
Whether it is man-aided or not, whether it is harp technology, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The outcome remains the same. The other thing we spoke about is the rapid advance in terms of human enhancement technology. And how far have we moved in those 100 episodes from when we started talking about it to where we are today?
Yeah.
Now, how far along the line are they in terms of interfering with your mind so that they can actually not only modify it, enhancement they call it,
mm-hmm.
but actually regulate it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's interesting.
Correct.
Now, when we look at the conspiracy theories out there, we have to make a point, conspiracy theories. They're saying this vaccine could contain nanoparticles. This is interesting, right?
Yes.
And that these nanoparticles would then sort of create a grid whereby they can actually control you via certain radiation, particularly 5G comes to mind, etc. That's the mindset out there. Now, we're not going along with that. We're just saying that's the way it is. But the World Economic Forum webpage clearly indicates that they want to go in that direction.
Yes.
Human enhancement, control of human thinking, control of what you do,
yes.
how you do it, etc. Just to go a little bit further, here's the Neuralink project. And this comes from Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory, an integrated brain-machine interface platform with thousands of channels. And this is, of course, Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
And his Neuralink technology that he's been talking about. This is fascinating stuff.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Here's an abstract from this article. Brain-machine interfaces hold promise for the restoration of sensory and motor function and the treatment of neurological disorders. Could it affect the way you think?
If someone ultimately does get a Neuralink installed, what will take place?
It can interface basically anywhere in your brain. So it could be something that helps cure, say, eyesight, like give you returns your eyesight, even if you've like lost your optic nerve type of thing. Yeah, absolutely. Hearing, obviously. Pretty much anything that it could in principle fix almost anything that is wrong with the brain.
So, they were talking medical issues, and it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful thing. But what if there is another aspect of controlling your reality? Mm-hmm. Then we would be moving into the realms of science fiction, right?
Correct. And we've spoken about that, the metaverse.
And you might actually be living in a matrix, in an unrealistic world that is being created for you. So this is now jumping to our time. This is now 2022. Let's see where we are.
I recently tested the Oculus Quest 2. Omar and I even held a meeting in Meta's Horizon workrooms. I personally felt the experience was moderately fun, solely because of the novelty factor. However, after playing around with it for several minutes, I began to feel more annoyed by the bright screen immediately in front of my eyes. Additionally, I experienced the motion sickness that Elon goes on to describe here.
Like you could do a video game on your sort of computer console or whatever, and you can be in a first person game and move rapidly and not get motion sickness. But if you try to do that with VR goggles, you get motion sickness. It's like weird. So then you have to teleport around with. It's okay. So it doesn't feel like that's the answer necessarily.
You team up and Neuralink into the brain so that you don't have to have the glasses?
There you go.
Yeah. A Neuralink, long-term, a sophisticated Neuralink, could put you fully in a virtual reality thing.
So, Martin, we can change virtual reality. We can make you see things that don't exist. Mm-hmm. And you will think that they are real. This is very interesting, isn't it?
Interesting, and I hope it's also a little bit scary for the people.
Absolutely. Once you start interfering with reality and you create a virtual reality, then you are taking humanity away from the roots. Because God placed us in a reality. He didn't place us in a matrix, even though Satan would like the world to believe that God put us in a matrix. Mm-hmm. He placed us into a reality. He placed us into a physical world. He placed us into a garden. But here we have a virtual reality. And if we go back to some of those old movies where they showed what the future would be like, then this virtual reality would play a great part, especially if the world is in a pretty destructive phase.
Exactly.
You can create a reality that is unreal.
And that's what's happening. The world is deteriorating and life out there, you don't want to actually be part of anymore.
Yes, so you create your own reality and you own nothing and are happy. Mm-hmm. is that a possibility?
I think that's how the planning works.
That's how the planning works. Now, as soon as you do that and you remove reality, then you cannot base decisions on reality. Mm. You'd have to base them on a virtual reality, which is not a reality. So my question is, will God permit this? If he does, if God permits it, then he is permitting people to make decisions on something that's not real.
Yeah.
And that cannot be comprehended. I cannot see that happening. So we are in the time as it was in the days of Noah, mm-hmm. where amalgamation and probably technology like this was being introduced. And God said, every imagination of the heart is continuously wicked. Yeah. And he will have to remove this situation entirely.
And interesting, they've time and again said that this metaverse that we were speaking about, they can unfortunately not control the age restriction or something in there. You cannot control what people will be doing in there.
That's interesting. So they want to start this Neuralink implanting process in human trials in this year, 2022. And they're starting with aiming to help paralyzed people, but that is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then they move on to the next phase.
If you take it like this, you start off to get everybody excited about it. And then slowly from there on, you start implementing.
Correct. Now, what if you can introduce a computer linkage by means of, let's say, injection? Is that a possibility? Is there a lot of speculation in the world regarding that issue?
I've seen an article where Google and I can't remember the other one are creating these nano bots that they want to use for medical purposes. But what else can they use it for?
Correct.
So it's in your body.
And what is also interesting, there's now a lot of talk that this is being introduced into the food supply.
Mm.
They're talking about, you know, graphene oxide and the magnetism and all of these issues. Now, we actually did some experiments ourselves. And we found in very common breakfast foods, we found these magnetic particles.
Mm.
So what are they doing there?
Yeah.
And when we looked at older packages, they weren't there.
Mm.
But they are there in some of the modern ones. Very strange things happening. We've said all along that the world is not moving to a better place.
No.
It is definitely on a downward spiral.
And we will be talking about it, but no matter who's in charge, it will be going downward.
Then, of course, we also discussed this interplay, this Hegelian dialectic between the left and the right. And, you know, people get so fired up because they buy into one ideology, either of the left or of the right, and then demonize the other one. But this is one of Satan's best strategies of herding humanity into a synthesis game. And sometimes it's hard to understand how this is happening. And people might think, well, he's leaning to the left or he's leaning to the right. But we've always maintained, no, we are observers.
Exactly.
We stand outside of this scenario. And wherever the left is leading, wherever the right is leading, if it is associated with secret societies, if it is associated with the papacy, let's call it by name, then you must know that there is an agenda which transcends the natural world and we move into the spiritual world. They are interconnected. You cannot separate them. And we're going to see a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, whether it is spearheaded by the left or whether it is spearheaded by the right is irrelevant. So what did we say in June 2020?
Remember what prophecy says, that Protestantism would form an image to the beast. That Protestantism would give their power unto the beast. The kings of the world will give their power unto the beast. In other words, they will again acknowledge papal supremacy and lend the power of the state in order to further the aims of the papacy. And anybody who didn't go along with that would be persecuted. That's the biblical narrative, right?
Yes.
So you have this power on the one hand, which elevates humanity, and you have the power on the other hand which elevates Christ. Now, which one are you going to obey? Now, are there any signs that they are really working to joining Protestantism and Catholicism in a powerful union that will again persecute God's people in the end? Last night, he held a Bible in front of St. John's Episcopal Church, just across the road from the White House, Today, he'll visit the shrine of St. John Paul II, also in Washington, D.C. So here you have a Protestant and a Catholic action. And Trump signed an executive order during the noon hour that the White House described as prioritizing U.S. support for religious freedom worldwide. Again, we must qualify that the papacy has declared that you only have religious freedom in that it serves the common good.
Yes.
A behind-the-scenes photo posted on Melania Trump's Instagram showed the Trumps kneeling in prayer inside the shrine. Would a Protestant do that? Would a Protestant go and kneel in the shrine or dedicated to a Catholic saint? Is this a signal that a Protestant president is willing to bow down and bow the knee to Catholic principles? Are we seeing a closing of the gap?
I think so. You have to be blind not to see
you
this.
You have to be blind, right?
Definitely.
So is an image to the beast beginning to form?
It's so blatantly in front of our eyes. I don't understand why some people can just not see this.
I don't understand it either. But we have very prominent people saying there is no image to the beast forming.
Yes.
And everywhere I look in the media, I see the image of the beast forming. I don't know, do I have different glasses? Is there something wrong with these?
Maybe I must clean it a little bit better.
Now, Martin, in those days when we spoke about these things, Donald Trump was still the president of the United States. Now we have another president, and he has a left-leaning, right? Is he any less pro-papacy?
No.
So this is a Hegelian dialectic. Let's just hear again what Donald Trump said in this interview in 2020 in August.
And if there was one message you wanted to say to our viewers, what would it be right now?
Well, I think anybody having to do with, frankly, religion, but certainly the Catholic Church, you have to be with President Trump. When it comes to pro-life, when it comes to all of the things, these people are going to take all of your rights away, including Second Amendment, because, you know, Catholics like their Second Amendment. So I saved the Second Amendment. If I wasn't here, you wouldn't have a Second Amendment. And pro-life is your big thing. And you won't be on that side of the issue, I guarantee, if the radical left, because they're going to take over. They're going to push him around like he was nothing.
Now, don't you find that fascinating? So he's the one who says the churches should open. And the churches should side with his philosophy, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, because their philosophy is basically what he said his philosophy. Now remember, he's also Jesuit trained.
Mm-hmm.
I find this very interesting. This is exactly what we see in the Bible, that the mark of the beast will be informed. Now, enforced.
Enforced.
Now,
by a church, state,
yes,
conglomerate.
Now, let's say that, for argument's sake, this philosophy is the one that will turn out to be the one wielding power. Then there's a tremendous likelihood that religious legislation would come into play again to prevent this chaos out there in the world. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an article. Trump campaign advisor Jenna Ellis: separation of church and state is a liberal lie.
Now, Martin, that was the right speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the left, Joe Biden, is the second Catholic president of the United States, and he was greeted by Pope Francis like a long-lost brother.
Yep.
And everything that he stands for is apparently the opposite of what the previous regime stood for, and yet they're furthering the same agenda. Is that Hegelian dialectic?
At its best.
At its best.
You cannot get it better. You've got people fighting each other, but both parties actually have the same goal.
Exactly the same. This is unbelievable. And we've been saying this for a long, long time, and it's unfolding before our eyes, and yet people think that they have chosen a particular side when in fact they're all on the same bus.
And it's not over because there's midterms coming and then a re-election. So we'll be speaking about that, but keep all of this in mind with the discussing here.
Wouldn't it be absolutely hilarious if we had a rerun of Trump versus Hillary?
Well, don't put it off yet.
On the 9th of October 2020, we had Biden say his say as well, right?
Yeah.
So let's listen to that.
And throughout my life in public service, I've been guided by the tenets of Catholic social doctrine that cuts across all confessional faiths. And that sense of hope and possibility reminds me of the first time I met Pope Francis in 2013, when I had the privilege of attending his inauguration at the Vatican. When I greeted him, he said, "Mr. Vice President, you're always welcome here." I live in an amazing country. We all live in an amazing country, where an Irish Catholic kid like me from Scranton, Pennsylvania, would one day befriend a Jesuit Pope. But that's who we are as a country, where anything is possible.
It's fascinating to me that the Biden camp is just as religiously orientated as the other camp. You know, we're always inclined to think that the Trump campaign and the Trump camp is closer to the King of the North. But in many respects, the Biden camp is closer than the Trump camp.
Yeah.
Because he mentioned the Catholic social doctrine.
Exactly.
And the Democratic Party has a manifesto and a vision which is much closer to the Catholic social doctrine than is the Trump camp.
Yes.
So the King of the North sits in both, and it doesn't really matter who wins.
Yeah.
The ascendancy of the King of the North philosophy can just as well be in both parties. So it doesn't matter at all who wins the election. The issue of prophecy will be fulfilled. Do you know how interesting this is, Martin? So as we've said all along, it doesn't matter which horse you sit on. It's going to go in a particular direction. Now, when you have a change from one to the other, and we constantly have change from one to the other,
yeah,
then certain agendas can be propagated. And when those agendas become exceedingly unpopular, you change horses.
Yes.
But and you've got the same ideology.
But how much of that horse still remains? All the things that the previous administration put in place, not everything has been swung around by the current one.
No.
They get all these things in that they want.
Exactly. So if something is unpopular, you just switch horses.
Yeah. And then they carry on with that narrative. People start, okay, let's go with it.
Until you get fed up with those, then you switch horses again. This is a very brilliant strategy. It's thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And the spiral is heading downwards, no matter which horse you're sitting on.
Yeah, and the one is just blaming the other one for it.
Correct. Now, some people are saying that, you know, this president is the most unpopular president. But just think back a few years to George W. Bush Jr., how popular was he? And yet he managed to push through all his strategies. Then there was a change of horses and nothing changed.
Nothing changed.
So if we want to go into the philosophy, then we can jump to the 15th of October 2020 and see what we said then. Now, this is quite a while ago. We're in 2022 already, right? I want to point the viewers to this book, Ecclesiastical Megalomania by John Robbins. It's a very fascinating book. And if you want to know more about Catholic social doctrine and the economic principles of the Roman Catholic Church, then you would be wise to read this book. In 1948, the Jesuit Cavalli explained Roman Catholic state political strategy in La Civiltà Cattolica. It says, the Roman Catholic Church, convinced through its divine prerogatives of being the only true church, must demand the right of freedom for herself alone. Because such a right can only be possessed by truth, never by error. In a state where the majority of the people are Catholic, the Church will require that legal existence be denied to error, and that if religious minorities actively exist, they shall have only a de facto existence without opportunity to spread their beliefs.
Sure.
This is Jesuit thinking. If you belong to some group that believes the Bible, that believes that Jesus is the only way to salvation, that believes that the Word of God is the norm and standard for your life, that believes that the law of God in its entirety, all Ten Commandments, is binding, you will be an anathema in the eyes of this church. Ayn Rand was right when she wrote in 1967, the Catholic Church has never given up the hope to re-establish the medieval union of church and state with a global state and a global theocracy as its ultimate goal. He writes further, the Roman church state in the 20th century, however, is an institution recovering from a mortal wound. This is biblical language from an economist. If and when it regains in full power and authority, it will impose a regime more sinister than any the planet has yet seen. And if people still do not believe us, let us just go through a few papal statements to show that this encyclical is absolutely in harmony with papal thinking and has nothing to do with fraternity and brotherly love. It has to do with megalomania and power hunger. So, Martin, I have a question for you. When this power starts getting a grip on humanity, then we will see an authoritarian regime as we saw in the Middle Ages. I would just like to ask the viewers, what's happening in Australia?
Yes, what's happening in Austria?
What's happening in Austria? What's happening in many, many places all over the world? Even though some of the pandemic issues are seemingly going into decline, it doesn't matter. The agenda will be furthered.
And the church state, in especially the second beast, America, is clearly, from both sides, going towards the goal.
Going towards the goal. Now, here is an article in the New York Post from January 16, 2022. Ex-Clinton advisor says there's a good chance of 2024 Hillary Trump rematch. Now, whether this takes place or not, as we have seen from our discussion, is actually irrelevant, right? It depends on which horse you want to saddle. And if they want to sing the first verse all over again, second verse, same as the first, then so be it. If humanity is willing to swallow such a ridiculous scenario, then let them. It seems as if humanity wants to be duped.
It truly does.
Right? So we don't have to read it all. They just said there's a very good chance that this would take place. And they're actually joking about it. Here's a cartoon that just recently appeared now in January in one of the Fox News cartoons. What is that horrific smell? Smells like corruption to me. And then it says here, rest in peace, Hillary's presidential election chances. It seems that there is a rising from the grave. So they're speculating about it because Biden is so unpopular.
Yeah.
I wonder who would win this time round. whether the people would play the same game all over again and get all excited and not realize that they're playing a game of Hegelian dialectics.
And you know what? To be observers, you don't get emotionally involved in this.
No, you don't have to.
And then you actually, if you're not emotionally involved, you actually can try and see what the biblical perspective on all of this is.
Okay, so even if this happens, doesn't matter if it doesn't happen, but if it does happen, the game plan will remain unchanged. We're moving towards the kings of the world giving their power unto the beast. And once they are so involved that they cannot make a retreat anymore, there's only one thing for them to do, and that is to step forward, give that power unto the beast, and then the end will come. Now, so Martin, we also spoke about depopulation. It wasn't a very popular topic, and we were called conspiracy theorists.
At least we called the episode conspiracy theorists.
Ah, excellent. I'm glad we did that. But what's interesting is that some of the web pages we quoted seem to have disappeared in the meantime.
That portion, definitely, yeah.
Yes, but other people have taken it up and have been speaking about it. And it's very interesting what's happening in the world at the moment. And the future will tell. In any case, we never said anything. We just quoted, right?
Correct.
So nobody can accuse us of conspiracies. We just quoted. All right. So, Martin, let's look at what we said at that stage.
This comes directly from their own webpage, and they are going to explain here why they have this massive prediction of a population reduction. We'll look at it in a moment. So sorry to disappoint many of you with our forecast. It is getting worse and worse every year since the beginning of the pre-crisis in 2007. And they're not going to say anything else about it. Now, here is a very interesting sentence. It says, the figure itself is not important. What is relevant is the fact that the scenario can evolve beyond the initial conditions from a 50% death toll to more than 90%. That's interesting, wiping out 90%. By the way, no pandemic or nuclear war is included in the forecast. They're talking about a pandemic here.
Yeah.
But in this forecast, in this case, no pandemic or nuclear war is in the forecast. So what will wipe out those populations?
I don't know.
Aha. Now this is where it gets interesting. This is where we have to put on our thinking caps.
Yes.
South Africa, just for interest's sake. 55 million, the population will drop to 46 million. So it's a 9 million drop in population, which is substantial. I mean, if we had to say in the next 5 years, 10 million people are going to die, that's quite shocking.
And that must also then include births and deaths.
Yes.
So with all of that, it still goes down 9 million.
But when you say to Germany, 50 million of your population are going to die out of your 80-something million, that is shocking beyond measure. Now let's look at the poor United States of America. Population, 327 million in 2017. They predict it's going to drop to 100 million.
Now that's... That's a
so what's going to happen to 227 million people?
Migrate?
To two-thirds of the population. Gone. Are they all going to move to Mexico?
I don't know.
This is what they're trying to tell you,
but...
Are they going to move to Canada?
No, because Canada is also...
It's also got a drop. Yeah. So they're definitely not moving anywhere.
No.
All right? And it's not a pandemic and it's not a war. According to them.
Now, Martin, that debate is still open, right? And we're not at 2025, so we cannot say whether that prediction will come true. But there are certainly a number of indications that all is not well in the state of Denmark, as the saying goes. So what can we expect in the next few years? And what will the scenario be? And what will the state of the world be before the coming of Christ?
Well, according to the Bible, not a nice place.
When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Mm-hmm. That's the first question. If he didn't come, no flesh would survive, says the Bible. And for that reason, the time will be cut short, right? Yeah. So, Martin, I still stand by everything that we said in the last 100 episodes. Now, we dealt only with the mild issues. And as we can see, those mild issues are not even so mild, right?
They already touch on...
They're touching on pretty serious issues like the destruction of a great portion of humanity. Now, how this will all unfold, we will see as we progress through the year 2022. Now, in our next episode, we will be touching on some of the other issues.
Also, a recap of
these. We will continue with a recap and see what we said and where we are now. But unfortunately, many of the things that we predicted and many of the things that are no longer acceptable on certain medias.
Yeah.
And so I think we will have to switch to another media
platform, yes.
Another media platform in order to bring this information.
Yeah, so the viewers must already know the next one will not be on this platform.
No. So that was 100 episodes in review, and we've just touched on a few. I mean, this is episode 24. And there are still three quarters of the episodes ahead. Now, we won't go through everything. We'll just do two of those, and then we'll continue with this other important topic. Mm. What does this mean for our spiritual life? We have to start concentrating on these issues. So may the God of heaven give us wisdom as we approach another very bumpy year. We do not know what it brings, but we know what prophecy says. And we have seen in this episode that the downward spiral that humanity has chosen to embrace is likely to continue.
That's important what you've just said. I just want to reiterate, when Jesus comes and he destroys the wicked, it will be their own choice.
It will be by their own choice. And many, many a soul is crying out, "How long, Sovereign Lord? How long?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are not living in a rosy world. And many, many people are in despair. Lord, you know how many letters we receive, how many people are totally despaired. And Lord, it's not possible. It's not possible to apply the balm to every need. So we have to appeal to a higher hand in order to do this. But Lord, if we can get the information to the people as to what choices they need to make in order to stand in that great day, then it would be a wonderful step forward. So I pray, Lord, that you will not use only this ministry, but use also the viewers and anybody else who you can to spread the word so that people may be prepared for that great day and stand. Who will be able to stand? That is the question that the Bible poses. And that is a question that we need to answer. Grant us wisdom to this end in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.